Have you ever had the feeling that you're being followed? Have you ever experienced that tingling sensation on the back of the neck that suggests someone or something is right behind you? I don't know what components all contribute to that feeling, nor do I know how often it is felt. But this much can be said with certainty: every Christian is being followed. Case in point, King David. He knew all about being followed by negative things already as a young man. For in his early years, he was frequently the guest in the palace of King Saul, where he enjoyed festive banquets and various adventures, the making of music, as well as the ugliness of jealousy. As David grew in stature and increased in popularity with the people, King Saul became all the more envious. He saw in all of David's potential the potential for losing his own throne, and the gratitude which Saul once felt for David's heroism and boldness turned into deep-seated jealousy. David recognized the threat for his safety, and he fled from King Saul. We're told that at one point he stayed in the wilderness of Maon, and when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Yes, David was being followed by someone who wanted him dead. And it wouldn't be the only time. Later on, he was feverishly followed by another who wanted to take his place, sadly his very own son. Absalom, a rebellious and disobedient son, wanted to be king himself and managed to surround himself with individuals who were willing to aid him in his assault on the throne. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who were with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. David was being followed. He had enemies. And he also had his own spotty past. In addition to the threats against his physical life, there were the threats against his spiritual sense of peace of mind. Knowing how the devil operates, one can safely assume that Satan was also following David with taunting reminders of the various sins of his past. It's likely that the devil did his best to remind David of his affair with Bathsheba, as well as his faithless numbering of Israel. The devil likes to disturb God's children with lingering guilt. So what about us? Are we being followed? We have been blessed with a physical environment in which we tend to feel little, if any, threat to our physical well-being. We probably don't expect at any time soon to be followed by adversaries who want to take our property or life. But we as Christians do have opponents. The hymn, "I Walk in Danger All the Way," speaks of how Satan has marked his prey. It also speaks of how I pass through trials all the way, and that death doth pursue me all the way. Yes, we are being followed by some very negative, dangerous things. Left to our natural condition and left to ourselves, we might be portrayed as the cartoon figure who is pictured as having that dark black cloud follow him wherever he goes. For we do have enemies, and we have committed sins which are deserving of God's eternal punishment. The wonderful thing, however, is that we are also being followed by some things which are tremendously bright and positive. Things greater than our adversaries. Things which diffuse threats and completely cancel condemnation. The very same David who knew what it meant to be followed by foes and guilt also knew what it meant to be followed by goodness and mercy. In the last verse of the familiar 23rd Psalm, he declares with certainty, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He was speaking, of course, of the goodness and mercy which come from the Lord, and as such, he was speaking of things which cannot be negated, toppled, or stopped. No matter how fierce a foe may be, no matter how evil an enemy might appear, no matter how bad an adversary might become, God assures his people that he will be right behind us with his goodness and mercy. That doesn't mean, of course, that Christians will always be spared afflictions or assaults, but it does mean that difficulties can occur only when the Lord allows them to, that they can develop only to the extent that he permits, and that he will always make positive use of whatever takes place and will reshape it into something with lasting benefit. Surely, goodness shall follow me. The Lord is completely capable of transforming difficulties into delights, and he's completely capable and willing of filling our lives with very good things from the outset. Luther helps us recognize clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home as good gifts, part of the goodness which follows us from the Lord, a list to which we can add many other things that are good which come our way, including health and healers, vocations, vacations, realization of goals and hopes. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, says James, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Goodness certainly does follow us daily. And so does mercy, the mercy of God through which we have been freed from all guilt and sin. It was God's mercy that prompted him to provide for us the way of salvation. He, whose mercy endures forever, sent his Son to take upon his shoulders our own guilt and transgression, and to provide a way for us to get to glory as the guiltless people of God. Whenever the devil sneaks up behind us and taunts us with reminders of the bad things that we have all done, we have the promises of God with which to send him running. We can point to the mercy, forgiveness, and grace of God by which we stand justified in God's sight. David confidently said in another psalm, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us." And with the removal of negative things that might like to follow us, there's nothing to stand in the way of a glorious future. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Despite our rebellious past and our sinful present, we have a glorious future in Christ. Nothing can stop the person who believes in Jesus from finally entering the best place there is, the house of the Lord. In him we have a future that is joyful, perfect, and pure. Do you ever have that feeling that you're being followed? Hopefully, because in Christ you are. Surely, says the psalmist, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. May we find peace and joy in that assurance and follow through with thanksgiving and praise. As in the form of the first stanza of hymn 237, stanza 1.